Let's bow our heads, please, for a moment of prayer. Beloved Father in heaven, for the opportunity we have to come to this thy house and worship thee, we give thee thanks. And we thank thee that we have come now to the preaching and hearing of thy word. Thy word, O Lord, is precious. Thy word is reliable as thou art. And we've learned by experience that thou art indeed reliable. Help us to remember, O Lord, that it is thy word. And it is for us, to read, to hear, to believe, and practice it in our everyday lives. Be with this thy servant to preach thy word, O Lord, and thy people, bless them to hear and understand, we pray. Bless it all to thy praise and glory, and to the good and edification of thy people. And this we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, and amen. I'm going to read for you the same passage of Scripture, for those of you that were here last Sunday, that I read last Sunday, but there's a reason for that. Now, sometime before last Sunday morning, this particular Scripture began to be on my heart, and I was going to try to preach it out. And then as I began, did a little more of the study, it began to make, well, there are actually three messages, I'm sure there are more. But there are three messages that the Lord put on my heart, and so I trust that He will bless me to preach this morning, and that He will bless me to preach it next Sunday morning. So, next Sunday morning, the Lord willing, will be another message from this same passage of Scripture. And for those of you, if you remember, you turn there, it's found in Luke chapter 2 and verses 8 through 16. Again, it's Luke chapter 2 and verses 8 through 16. And these verses read, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us go now even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary, and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger." All right, what I want to use partly verse 8 as a text, and then I'll read the last two verses a little bit later. Luke chapter 2 verse 8 reads, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night." They were in the same country. The first seven verses in this chapter, Luke chapter 2, read about the birth of Jesus Christ. And so that was in Bethlehem. So in this same country, these shepherds that were keeping watch over their flock by night were in the fields that were near Bethlehem. Shepherds in the field watching over their flock by night. Now they were doing that for protection. A little more about that in just a moment. Now, we need to remember, this is the key. We need to remember that the angels appeared unto shepherds, not shopkeepers. They would have all been separate places and so forth. But these shepherds were together. They may not have been the only shepherds round about Bethlehem, but this was a group of shepherds that were together there. But again, it's important to realize that the angel, and then later angel, appeared unto shepherds. We need to consider the work of shepherds, all right? Shepherds were faithful at all times. They labored 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They had no rest. They had no vacation. These were watching over their flocks at night. Now, if you're their flock, beg your pardon. There were shepherds, and they were watching over the flock. Now, let me give one explanation there, and that is that different shepherds at different times, especially at night, would come together, and they would bring their sheep together as one fold, or as one flock, if you will, and those shepherds would keep watch over all of those sheep at night. And they came together with their flock, and some slept while others watched. Now think about it in this way. Shepherds were faithful. They were on the job 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, as I mentioned just a moment ago. And yet at the same time, you know as well as I do, without divine miracle from the Lord, and I don't think it could have happened, but I don't think it did happen, that shepherds could not be awake 24 hours a day. Now sometimes that sort of thing is necessary. I know that maybe some of you have experienced that. But at the same time, they had to sleep because they were human beings. They had the same frailties as all of us have. We need sleep. We need rest and so forth. And so while some were sleeping, there were others that were watching the sheep. Now, sometimes they did this. They had them in the sheepfold. But this was not evidently in the sheepfold because there were shepherds in the field that were keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, but shepherds... Let me rephrase that in this way. Years ago, when I was a member of the Atlanta Primitive Baptist Church, and we had a pastor, very gifted pastor, very faithful pastor, and he's traveled a lot and made no telling how many years he went to the Middle East on biblical land tours and had other travels also. But he said he met quite a few people. He said he met some of the famous, a well-known political candidate from Massachusetts. He met some of them. I don't know which ones. He didn't say it, and didn't ask him about it later. But he said some of the most noble people he'd ever met were lowly shepherds. Now think about that. Some of the most noble people that he ever met were shepherds. Think of it in this way. Think about this. How more noble could a person be than one who labored 24 hours a day for sheep? Now, we'll say a little bit more about sheep a little bit later. But that is, they denied themselves of many of the pleasures and the comforts of life. They slept out in the field or in the door of a sheepfold. They did that. And they said that there wasn't a comfort. There wasn't a life of ease. And yet they did that because they cared for the sheep. They took care of the sheep. Now, and they humbled themselves. There's not a more noble characteristic than that. And so again, there were as a whole, there were noble people. They took their sheep. Now, what I'm going to give you now, though I'm not going to give a direct reference to this, is from Psalm 23. I read a book about Psalm 23, by the way. If you're interested in it, you can ask me about it a little later. But a man who kept 300 sheep wrote this book and told us that, all right, now this is what it says. Here's where he is agriculturally, and here's a spiritual exhortation or a spiritual lesson from that. Alright, but he says that the 23rd Psalm is the experience of a sheep, or a herd of sheep, or one sheep, whatever, in 1 year's period of time. Alright, shepherds took their sheep to green pastures. They knew about cast sheep. Now let me say this about cast sheep. Their sheep like to lay down and rest comfortably. Now, I'm not going to ask you for a show of hands, positive or negatively, but I would not be surprised if every one of us like to have a certain kind of pillow. Alright? Now, I'm not asking any questions. You like to sleep on that pillow in a certain way. I'm picky. Now, here's a night bite. When I'm laying down on the bed, not that pillow, obviously it's on this side of my face or this side of my face, one or the other. But and the little nap that I have is I can't stand for just a little piece of that pillow, maybe just to touch my nose or some other part of the face. Now, that's the nap that I have. I've got to do something about that. But there's certain ways that we like our pillow to be, and we may double the pillow, and I do if I'm sleeping, laying on a shoulder. But the fact is, we like to rest comfortably. And sheep were the very same way. They like to find small depressions and they could get in that small depression, and they could rest better there. They could kind of roll over in that small depression. But every once in a while, they would roll too far. And when they rolled too far, they couldn't get up. And they would flail the front and their back legs, but they were going to stay right there. And they would stay right there unless the shepherd got to them. And if the shepherd didn't get to them in time, they would die in that particular condition. And he would get them up, he would stand them up, though they were weak and maybe a little bit wobbly, and he would fuss at them a little bit by getting in that condition. And at the same time, he'd do that in a very kind tone, and he would rub their legs to get circulation going, and the sheep was going on. And he told about one of that, he said that was a good thing, because a little later on, that same ewe gave me a couple of good, healthy lambs. And so that was for his benefit. And so these shepherds knew about cast sheep. They knew about the valley of the shadow of death. I mentioned the green pastures. That was on the high ground. Now, from the home place to the high ground, the best way to go was through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, that seems unusual to any of us, I suppose, and yet that was the way they go. If they were fine on the way, they wouldn't go through there in one day, but they would stop in one place. They'd have water there. They would have grass there and that sort of thing, and they could feed. Then go a little further and find places like that. I remember a stream like that in North Georgia on a trail that I hiked for a number of years ago. I wanted to hike it this past fall. Kathy said, I'm a little old for that now. About 3 miles. Yes, she said, I'm a little old. That's one way, by the way. She said, I'm a little old for that now. And she may be right. But in regards to that, I remember that in that stream. When I saw that, I thought about that particular lesson. But the Valley of the Shadow of Death, it was called that because there were animals that preyed on sheep, and there would be little crevices to the side, and they would hide in those little crevices, and when the sheep would come by, they'd reach out to get one of them, to kill one of them, and to use it as a prey animal to feed on the sheep. But you see, the shepherds went with them. And they had their rods and their staffs. Now more about that a little bit later. And they would beat off those animals. And they went before the sheep to prepare the pastures. That is, when they got to a field, there was good grass there, good, luscious grass there on that high ground, and yet at the same time, in the midst of that good grass, there were weeds there. And some of those weeds were poisonous to the sheep. The sheep didn't know it. Let me say this. They're very dumb animals, by the way, and I may mention that again, but they're dumb animals. They didn't know that, but the shepherd knew what was good for them and what was not good for them. And before they got to a piece of ground, he would be there before them, and he would pull the weeds and other plants like that that would be harmful to the sheep. And they moved them when they were necessary. Sheep are very susceptible to parasites and other insects and larvae and that sort of thing. Now, and so they could be there for a certain number of days, and I can't remember how many days it was, but then within their droppings, they would develop parasites and so forth, and so he would move them to another piece of ground. They could come back to that piece of ground sometime later because the problems wouldn't exist any longer. And then he moved them to another ground, and another piece of ground, and so he had to move them. But then that also shepherds anointed anointed with their sheep with medicine. I think I mentioned just a moment ago, if I didn't, they're very susceptible to parasites, and he could tell when there was a problem there, and he would put certain kind of ointments or oil on them and cure them. Now, and they knew, these shepherds, by the way, they knew the sheep depended on them for everything. For everything. All right. Now look at Luke 2 verses 15 and 16. And these two verses read, "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." All right. Now, when the shepherds saw Jesus, what did they see? Now, let me say this. The word see means perceive. And so when they saw Jesus just as a babe lying in the manger, then they perceived something. Right? We don't know all they perceived or whatever. The scriptures are silent on that. Whether they learned other things later or not, I don't know. But nevertheless, they perceived something. And the word see also means to know. To know means to love in a very special way. This thing was so special to them that they left their sheep. Now, I don't know if they left their sheep to hirelings. I don't know. It could have been that they just simply left the sheep and they said, well, the Lord will take care of them. That is what, now, I think about this. There are times that we and you and all of us, like when we come here, people know that we're gone, but the Lord takes care of, watches over our homes while we're gone. People can, if they canvass our neighborhood long enough, then they'll realize that Catherine and I are not at home, but if we're away in the service of the Lord, then listen, the Lord watches over us, and He takes care of us. He not only watches over us, but He watches over our home also. And so, but they may have had the thought, since the angel of the Lord commanded them or exhorted them to go into Bethlehem to see this thing which was come to pass, then the Lord would take care of their sheep. It doesn't say just exactly what happened, but these shepherds left their sheep. They may have seen many things about Jesus, and there are many things to see about Jesus in the back of this Bible. I think there are 180 something different titles of Jesus Christ. Some are more known than others, such as Emmanuel. But again, if I remember correctly, 180 something different titles of Jesus Christ. But again, they may have seen many things about Jesus for that reason. But these shepherds may have seen Jesus as their shepherd. Now that's the thought that came to me as I thought many times through the years that these shepherds may have seen Jesus as their shepherd. And Jesus is the shepherd. In John chapter 10 and verse 14, in two verses in that chapter, he's called the good shepherd, but this is verse 14, I am the good shepherd. And know my sheep and am known of mine. Jesus is the good shepherd. He knows his sheep and is known of his sheep. Now, someone told me an example of someone in another state. I don't know where it was. But this man had sheep for a number of years and he sold his sheep. Alright? Sometime after he sold his sheep, not the next day or whatever, but a significant period of time, he and his wife were riding on a country road. And he looked down the pasture and he saw these sheep. He says, those are my sheep. Those are my sheep. His wife said, no. What makes you think they're your sheep? I just know they're my sheep. He stopped the car, got out of the car, went over to the fence and used a certain call they used to call the sheep. Those sheep came. I know my sheep and have known of mine. So that's the example of shepherds and the sheep. Jesus knows us. And thank the Lord we know Him. And then in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, this is important again. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You see, the idea was He wasn't just a shepherd when He walked among men. He's a shepherd now. He's a shepherd to us even now. Alright, then Jesus was their shepherd. These shepherds, however many there were. And He is our shepherd today. Jesus is always faithful. Remember, He is a shepherd. And the shepherds labored 24/7. Now, there are times that they need to sleep, but others they help one another, and so they could get a certain amount of sleep that they needed. But Jesus is always faithful. Psalm 121 verse 4 reads that He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. And so the one who keeps Israel, and that can be applied to the Church of Jesus Christ today, by the way, or any of us as individuals, the one who watches over us never slumbers nor never sleeps. You see, we like the shepherds I mentioned earlier, we need sleep. We need a certain amount of rest. Listen, I remember years ago when we went to a nursing home service I preached on Matthew 11:28 about come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I said a nap is something that's good. And then there were older ladies in that congregation, as you might imagine. And I said sometime a nap's pretty good for me. And those ladies grinned, some of those ladies grinned from ear to ear. But a man a lot younger than I am, he takes a nap also. And nap is good for him, just like it is for us. But rest is something that is important. And listen, brothers and sisters, while we're resting, yes, even while we're resting, while we're alive, regardless of what we're doing, Jesus is our shepherd. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. 365 days of the year. And so, but listen, He watches over us. Shepherds, even as they're faithfully watching over the sheep, can lose sheep to predators. This man that wrote the book that I mentioned earlier mentioned the fact that there were times that even though he was watching over the sheep, some mountain lion, he was in the northwest and Washington or Oregon, one of the other. I forgot exactly which state. But he said a mountain lion would hide behind a rock until one of the sheep got close by. He would reach out. He would jump out, get that lion, get that sheep, and take him away. And the shepherd wouldn't even know it until they found the remains of the sheep. That's what they did. And yet, listen, natural shepherds, men, as we, have limitations, and yet there's one with no limitations that never needs to slumber, never needs to sleep, and the reason that he doesn't need to slumber or sleep is because he has all power. He is all powerful. And not only that, he knows all. Now think about that. Here's a shepherd, and he knows there's a mountain lion, for instance, a shepherd in the northwest. He knows there's a mountain lion there. He's going to go towards that mountain lion. He's going to put his own life in danger to drive that mountain lion off or killing one of the others. That's what he's going to do. But now what if there were mountain lions all around those sheep? That one shepherd would be in a mess. He might get one. He might get more than one, but he's going to lose some sheep. He might lose his own life. But listen, brothers and sisters, here's one that knows all. Here's one who destroyed an army in Old Testament times, and that by never lifting a sword, here's one who destroyed the armies by making them all of a sudden start fighting against themselves, and Israel or Judah won great that victory without even shooting an arrow or raising a sword. Now, that's what our Lord can do. He knows all, and so He can defeat that. You know, it doesn't matter if there's one enemy or thousands of enemies, He can destroy those enemies. But again, because Jesus knows all. He knows where the enemies are. Now, as the shepherds, as they led sheep to green pastures, Jesus would feed them. As the shepherds led their sheep to green pastures, Jesus feeds us, by the way, feeds them as shepherds, and He feeds us. He gives natural food, by the way. You know that. We're blessed with that. But He also gives spiritual food. And this is an allusion to Psalm 23 and verse 2, which reads, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Now, why do sheep lie down? Sheep are ruminating animals, like cattle, and like goats, deer, and other animals like that. And they eat. They have a four-chambered stomach, I think. That's about all I know about it. And I know they chew the cud. But and to do that, they lie down in a certain place. All right? Now, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means that the sheep, an individual sheep that does this, is well-fed, and he's content. He's doing well. And that's what this means. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. The shepherd can tell when one is not doing well. I mentioned the parasites and so forth. Well, if a sheep has trouble with that, then he's not going to lie down because he's not content. Something's bothering. He's going to stand up. And he'll probably stamp his feet because something's wrong with him. He can't do anything about it, but he's not happy. And the shepherd can look at him and he knows he's not happy. So the shepherd's going to do something about that. And then later on, after a period of time, then the sheep will be content again. But when needed, Jesus would restore their souls. You remember that verse of scripture in Psalm 23? He restored my soul. That goes back to the cast sheep that I mentioned a little bit earlier. When they get in depression, in a comfortable depression, and yet they can't get out, and the shepherd has to come and get them up and take care of them so they can be restored back to their good health again. But Jesus does that. You see, He restores our soul. We get in position sometimes, or we can get in position. Let me rephrase that. We can get in a condition that we can be separate from Jesus. I don't mean we lose our salvation. I don't mean that we lose our spiritual life. But we can lose the joy of our spiritual life. If we're not careful, we can go away from the Lord. Now, I've mentioned a couple of times already, and probably will again, that sheep are the dumbest animals on the face of the earth. Well, I've been told this about sheep. If a sheep ever loses sight of the flock, the rest of the flock, and the shepherd, or any of the flock and the shepherd, 9 times out of 10, he will not find his way safely back to the flock. The shepherd will have to go out and find him and bring him back to the flock. You remember the parable of the 99 and the psalm we have in our hymnal, the 99? That's what that's all about. The shepherd has to go out and find the sheep and bring him back. And so that's the idea of restoration there. And that's what we do from time to time. We wander away from the Lord. Now, we don't just all of a sudden say, I'm through with the Lord. I don't want any more with the Lord. We don't do that. But we drift away maybe a little here and a little there. And finally, we've actually drifted away from the Lord. And we lose the spiritual blessings in life. But listen, brothers and sisters. If the shepherd didn't take care of that cast sheep in that depression when he couldn't get up, and our shepherd, the good shepherd, if he didn't take care of us, we'd die. Well, now, I remind you that die and death means separation. Again, as I mentioned just a moment ago, we're not going to lose our salvation. We're not going to lose the spiritual life that's within us. But we can become separated from the spiritual blessings of life. And so the shepherd takes care of us in that. Thank the Lord for that. Now, the shepherd knew they would face dangers in this life. They knew that the sheep faced dangers, and they knew they themselves, as the Lord's sheep, by the way, would also face dangers in life. But Jesus would protect them from the dangers. Now, but there's sometimes that they would get in that dangerous situation. Listen, in the first century, many of them gave their lives because of the love of Jesus Christ. But He would be with them in the danger. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They would not bow down to the king's statue as he commanded. And he says if they didn't, they would be put in a burning fiery furnace. They did not bow down to the king's statue. They were put in the burning fiery furnace and had no effect whatsoever of the fire. And I think most of you know the reason is because the Lord was with them. The Lord was with them. And so, but Jesus will be with us in the danger. They knew, that is these shepherds, knew Jesus had what was necessary to defeat their enemies. Remember, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou, the good shepherd, are with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Listen, this same shepherd studied other shepherds. And he was in Africa with a shepherd. And he and this shepherd, African, young African shepherd, pushed over a boulder. Underneath this boulder was, oh gosh, that snake they have in Indian Africa, cobra. Underneath that boulder was a cobra. That young shepherd, just like second nature, all of a sudden, bam, that cobra was dead, just like that. Now, snakes are fast. Years ago, in December, when it was cold, I was down in Ocala, Florida. And at Silver Springs, I always heard of Silver Springs, wanted to go to Silver Springs, and was blessed to go. And there was a snake demonstration there. Now, you know that they're slow when it's cold, and it was cold weather. And they got this rattlesnake out, diamondback, I suppose, that's part of the kind that lives down there. They got this diamondback rattlesnake out, and he took a balloon that was blown up about that long, and he punched, put it toward the snake, and the snake struck the balloon. Listen, again, they're supposed to be slow when it's cold weather. Listen, that snake striking that balloon and coming back was like a blur. Now, that's how fast snakes were. And I'm sure it's probably warm in Africa, and yet that shepherd was faster with his rod, a stick about that long, than the snake was. And he was able to kill the snake before the snake did anything. Now listen, that's the picture of Jesus as our shepherd. He has what's necessary to defeat our enemies. They knew Jesus would prepare them for a table in the presence of his enemies. Isn't that a beautiful expression? Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Now, I was told that the table was like mesas in the western states, that is, table land. High, and yet table, got flat top mountains, table land there. All right. Now, but in the presence of enemies, there could be enemies of one kind or another all around there, and yet, in spite of the fact that, well, let me back up just a minute. Brother Larry's daddy, my daddy, went in World War II, and I know others, Brother Roy was a veteran, and there were others in the congregation that have been in the congregation, not here right now, but that are veterans. But listen, there was no way in the world that my daddy, as an infantryman, a private in an infantry division, if they were in close contact with the enemy, there's no way in this world that they could sit down at a table and eat. Well, look what Jesus does for us. He's prepared a table for us in the presence of his enemies. Now, I mentioned that earlier that he goes out and what's poisonous for us, he pulls that out and he gets rid of that. But even in the presence of enemies, there's table for the sheep to eat. There's table land for the sheep to eat. Now, and he goes, he prepares them. So he would feed them even in the presence of enemies. That is, he would give them strength. That is, from the food they ate. And he would fight battles for them. Excuse me. Jesus would give them what they needed for their infirmities. Remember I mentioned a little bit earlier how sometimes when the sheep are not well, instead of lying down and chewing their cud, being content because they're feeding well, something's irritating them. Now, there are all kinds of different things that they had. I remember one of them was botflies. You want me to tell you what I know about a botfly? I just finished. Okay, but it's something that irritates the sheep. So he would give them various ointments and oils and anoint, as it said in the psalm there, and they would eventually be well again. But he would give them what they needed for their infirmities. Now, one of the beautiful things, I'm sure many of you remember the late Elder Woodrow Beeson. I'm sure he probably preached here. And I love Brother Woodrow. Brother Woodrow and I were ordained both at Oak Grove Primitive Baptist Church. I forgot when he was ordained. I was ordained in 76, and when I was ordained in 76, Brother Woodrow was moderator of the presbytery. I remember that. But Brother Woodrow wanted to know everything he could about shepherd and sheep. And he found an article in Reader's Digest about Alfonso, I think his name was, if I remember correctly. He mentioned it several times. I think that's his name. We're close to it anyway. He said, there's one thing that every sheep in the flock would do every day. And that is, they wouldn't do it all at the same time, but they would do it individually. And the sheep would come up and rub against the shepherd. And it would stay there until the shepherd did something. Now, I'm sure that the shepherd tried him out sometime, but he would stay there until the shepherd reached down and touched him. Now, that's a beautiful expression, brothers and sisters, that how we can go to Jesus. We can be close to Jesus by the way we live our lives and so forth. And when by the way we live our lives, we get close to Jesus, then Jesus reaches down and touches us. Now, why does he reach down and touch us? Because he wants us to know that he's pleased with what we've done in our lives. That doesn't mean that if Jesus blesses me or you, and he does, with his felt presence, that he's pleased with everything I've done every day of my life. No, that's not true. I know it's not true. I know that He's not pleased with everything I do, but thank the Lord He loves me anyway. And yet there are times when we do something in His service that it pleases Him, that He reaches down, if you will, in the person of the Holy Spirit and lets us know He's pleased with our efforts in life, or one particular efforts in life. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, He's able to make us know that we're pleased with one thing that we do in life, whatever that one thing may do, he blesses us to know what He's pleased with in our lives. Now, and thank the Lord we can be close to Jesus. Now, since Jesus is our shepherd, we are His sheep. In Psalm 100, verse 3, we are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. I've mentioned a couple of times at least already that sheep are the dumbest animals on the face of the earth. Now, I have a chainsaw. There's a man who's done work for me on my chainsaw. And sometimes after he started doing work on that, he got some sheep. He told me about it. And he told me himself, they're the dumbest animals on the face of the earth. And that's why they need a shepherd to watch over them. They're not only dumb, they are pretty much defenseless. They don't have enough strength against a predator, especially one like a mountain lion in the Northwest territory, Northwest. They're not strong enough to defeat one of those, even a lamb. And they're not fast enough to run away from them, so they're going to lose every time. But the shepherd takes care of them. The shepherd takes care of them. And listen, brothers and sisters, what does that tell us? We need the shepherd for everything in our lives. God help us to always remember that. God help us to remember that we have a good and a great shepherd. I mean, that one and the same, Jesus Christ the Lord. But we need to realize that we need Him for everything. And He blesses us with everything that we need. And now, think about this, brothers and sisters. As I think about these shepherds going to see Jesus, who could appreciate Jesus as a shepherd more than another shepherd? A shepherd who knew what it took to be a good and faithful servant. And shepherd. But one that did that, and yet also at the same time, this is my shepherd. He will take care of me, regardless of the circumstances in our lives. Now, as I was studying for this, I thought about, well, this, as far as I know, it's the last we hear direct reference to these shepherds. Now, there may have been other groups and so forth. I don't know about that. But listen, these were faithful to the Lord at that particular time. And so, again, these shepherds, being shepherds, knowing what it took to be shepherds, certainly appreciated Jesus being their shepherd. Now, listen, brothers and sisters, praise the Lord that Jesus is our shepherd and provides everything that we need, both spiritual and material. Thank the Lord for that. And God, help us to praise Him for what He does for us in our lives, is my prayer, for Christ's sake.